Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will find him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and to bring his disciples word. Let's pray. Father God, today is a day of all days. It's a risen Lord we seek. He is not in that tomb. He is here. He is amongst us. And he is speaking through his scripture, through his words. Father, I pray for the pastor that all the scripture he will deliver, all the words he will give, will come straight from the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, and for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Would you agree? Amen, amen it is. I'm going to set my keys right over here in case I start getting crazy and start throwing them. And my pocket knife. I think I'm done. Take your Bibles. It's sharp. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 17. It's going to be a uniquely different Easter service, I hope, for you today, and I hope it's going to be one that's applicable. If you're a guest with us today, we believe the Word of God 100%. Some of us, like myself, haven't forgot what it's like to be lost and undone without Christ, and we also know about that day that we had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he changed our lives. Now, I like to say he changed our sorry lives, but that makes Southerners upset that we're too proper to be sorry, but you were pretty sorry before a Savior, right? Amen? Sin is sorry. Sin's what nailed Jesus to the cross. Amen? So it is, sin is pretty sorry. So I'll be politically correct and just say we have a risen Savior who saved us from our sins. That sounds better, doesn't it? Our wickedness, our evil, right? All right, let's go to Acts 17. Let's get right into the Word of God today. There's some exciting news for us to hear because Jesus is worth bragging on and bragging about, and we want to make much of him, less of ourselves. Now, you see Acts 17, we're talking about trusting the one true God. Acts 17, we're not reading all 34 verses, so don't panic that we had to read all those verses. But we do have a lot of scripture to finish up to get to today. So we're going to start with the why of Easter. Why do we celebrate? And we call it Resurrection Sunday. A lot of people get caught up and they get angry about the word Easter, that it's a pagan deity's holiday. Well, you can call it what you want to call it. It's Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ is alive. Good Friday services, people get upset, say, no, but Jesus couldn't have died on Friday if you do 3 days and three nights in the grave. I'm not worried about what day he died. I'm worried, and I'm not even worried because the Bible says don't worry. I am celebrating the day that he rose. The Bible says he rose the first day of the week. Therefore, Resurrection Sunday trumps everything you might want to put in the negative category and say, I can't figure it out. The answer is, that's on you. I'm good with it because God rose on Sunday morning, and we're here today to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection. There's power in the resurrection. Amen? Amen. Michael, it's good to see you. We've been praying for you, man. So I know there's a lot of us have been on ill's door, and God has seen fit to give us one more day. So let's begin Acts chapter 17. We're going to begin right there in verse 1. This is the Acts of the Apostles. What did the apostles do? We preached to this before, but I want you to see, if you have a copy of God's Word, of what it looks like, if you will, after Easter, right? Like we talked about this morning at treadmill, was Easter 25 going to be very, very similar to Easter 26 for y'all? Is it going to be go to grandma's house or go to mama's house or go out to eat or dress up? I see all the nice dress up everybody did today, the Easter dress, the bow ties, the ties, the hats. We recognize that it's a special day. But I want to challenge you, if we leave here today, it's not just a special day today, it's a special day tomorrow and 364 more days plus this one. It's a special day that we have to live out the message of today. Today's not just a celebratory day. We celebrate like the Super Bowl. We won. Our team won. And then we can't tell you who won the Super Bowl in 1997. Anybody know? The Rams? Okay. It's because you must be from, you must be a Rams fan. Somebody check that. I want to fact check that because he might have just said that because he's a Rams fan. Well, what I want you to see is we don't really remember who's, if you go back in dates, unless our team won, we don't really remember. But we do remember about how long was it that Jesus died and rose from the dead. We remember back, we say 2,000 plus years because we're getting into the plus now. We know it was over right at 2,000 years ago. We can go back and actually look in the scriptures. We can look at some historical documents and say, and we can even look at the world. Look at us. If you've been saved and redeemed, Jesus Christ has changed your life. Listen, it looks different this year than it did last year when you were not saved. You look different. You have joy. You have a countenance that actually only God can bring in your life. So Easter, as it were, was not just a day for me. Listen, it matters what you do after the day. After today, when you leave out of here, don't just sing the songs and pray the prayers and read the scriptures. It should change your life that you walk out those doors or whatever doors you exit today, and you live it out as you walk it out. Amen? Paul says to walk worthy of the calling by which you've been called. You've been called to give this message away. So we are actually preaching a message after Easter, the day of Easter. All right? So let's get into the word in Acts chapter 17, beginning of verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, I can't even say words this morning, they came into Thessalonica. My mouth is dry. I should have, with David, when he was baptizing, the nerves got back there for all of us. We were smiling and laughing, and I can't even get my mouth open this morning, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and a synagogue was not the temple. A synagogue was, think of Odell Weeks, think of a meeting place that we would meet. It was a small group of a meeting area. And then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from what? The scriptures, which are important, and explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded. A great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. And we'll look and see and say, okay, what did he preach? It wasn't just that he preached a message. He preached the message of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection. There's power in the resurrection. There is no power necessarily in just the death of Christ. And every religious leader that's gone before us has died. Is that true? Maybe Elijah. He's hanging out. He ain't died yet that we know of. But for the most part, every religious leader, somebody might say Enoch, okay, I got it. But every religious leader of our current ages and the ages past have died. They're dead. As we used to say from Pauline, they're dead dog dead, right? Roadkill dead, gone. They have died and they've ceased living here on this earth. Their physical body has stopped. But there's a promise from the Word of God, and that's why Paul, he was opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all know he actually persecuted the church. He was anti-Christ before Christ saved him on that road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. You can read about it. And when Christ changed his life, he really changed his life. It was a radical change in his life. Paul went from persecuting the church to preaching the very message that the church preached. He went from persecuting those followers of the way of Jesus to actually preaching Jesus is the only way. He preached Jesus is the only word. Jesus is the only way. Is that true? Jesus is the only truth. Is that truth? Jesus is the only life. Is that true? Jesus is the light of the world. Is that true? This is what Paul preached. That Jesus, and he would go back and the apostles would go back and say, that Jesus whom you crucified is resurrected. God raised him from the dead. And as a matter of fact, Paul goes on in Romans 10:9 to say, listen, he tells us in Romans 3 that everyone sins and falls short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter what part of the planet you're from. That's everyone born of woman has sinned and falls short of God's glory. Everyone. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, Paul goes further and says, listen, the wages or the minimum payment for that sin is death. That's it. That's all you got when you're born is death. But there's a comma after that word. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not just a gift of God. Everybody's not a child of God. You hear people say that. The people like to say, well, we're all just children of God. No, we're not. We're creations of God. We're made in his image. But you only become a child of God when he becomes your father. when you actually bow your knee and surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I surrender what? All. We sing the song, but we don't often do it. When you surrender fully, then and only then can you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus now lives within me, as it were, through the power of the Holy Spirit. He lives in me and around me daily. That's what this message of Resurrection Sunday is all about. It's not just some poor prophet, poor man. It's God himself. Jesus is God, right? Emmanuel, we sing it at Christmas. God with us. God came from heaven to earth. He took on flesh. He lived a sinless life. And listen, his whole purpose was to die. That's it. He was to die for your sins and for mine. It was God's plan before he even made the first day of creation. The Bible says, before the foundations of the earth, God had a plan to redeem man. You say, well, I don't fully understand that. Can I tell you? I don't either. I believe it by faith. It is God who extends that faith to me. Well, you say, well, I've got it up here. I just can't get it right here. Well, that's what sends so many people to hell every week. Is they understand, they can give an acclamation, they can actually say, I believe this, this is good. We believe Jesus died on the cross, beautiful music, beautiful day, beautiful outfit, but they never received the Lord Jesus Christ because they won't surrender. We look here and see, if you would, transition to your notes just for a moment. I want you to see this in your notes, if you would. The name of Jesus stirs a response in every person, joy and peace in some, resistance and hostility in others. This was true of Paul as he proclaimed Christ to his watching world. Would you agree? You just read in the first four verses, Paul preached Jesus' death and resurrection, his death. And what has to be presumed, if we actually go to and take just that one passage, what has to be presumed before he died? He lived, thank you so much, he lived. And Paul preached that he lived a sinless life. And Paul preached, because we know Paul's the rest of his epistles, we have 13 of them, Paul preached that he lived a sinless life, and that he died a horrific death for you and for me. Now, the scourging, he was scourged, and some people said up to 700 times, and he was crucified on the cross. He was a dead man before he just about got to the cross when he was crucified. He was beaten. That's terrible. All the physical pain was terrible. But church, I want to tell you today, and friends, I want to tell you today, that was not the worst pain that Jesus suffered. It was being separated from his Father. He'd never, ever, ever known sin. And the Bible says he was made sin for us. He took on your sins, the stuff you did this past week. He took those sins on himself on the cross. The worst sin that you would calculate that you've ever done, or that you say, well, that was just a little white lie. The simplest sin that you think of, he died for those sins, your sins, my sins, that we might be saved. And then he calls out, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sins to salvation, to righteousness. Saved from eternity, separated from God in a place called hell. Saved to an eternity with God in the presence of God forever. Who would not in their right mind accept that free gift? These chief Pharisees, these scribes, these men who called, crucify him. They called for him, as we talked about on Good Friday. The ones who called for him knew that he was from God. John chapter 3, Nicodemus says, we know that you're from God from all the miraculous things you're doing. And Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say thank you. He just said, you must be born again. Jesus knew people's hearts. What's in the heart of most people? Let's look and see what it says in the Word. In Thessalonica, Paul went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Over three Sabbaths he reasoned, right, from the Scriptures, explaining that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, declaring, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is Christ. He is the Messiah. He's the one that we promised, that God promised would come. Some were persuaded and believed, including God-fearing Greeks and prominent women. Why would that be put in the Bible? I think God wants us to see in his word. Paul, writing under inspiration, says, listen, this is a gospel for the wealthiest, greatest person on the planet to the poorest person on the planet. God is, listen, from the uttermost to the guttermost, this is the God that we serve. Listen, he's a God who wants to love you. You're made in his image, and he wants to redeem you. He wants to buy you back. I used to talk about it some years ago. How many of y'all, some of you remember and some of you don't. It's fun to talk about because it brings back memory. I can almost taste it. I know I have a dry mouth this morning, and water's not doing it for me. But how many of y'all actually had the green stamp program? Y'all used to lick the stamps, and you could redeem. Anybody know that? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. All right, look around. Just so you know, I'm not crazy by myself. Used to be these big green stamps when you would shop Where would we shop, Mom? What was that? Winn-Dixie. How many of you guys know about Winn-Dixie? And you get these, you get them, and they'd have bicycles and all kind of stuff you could redeem for. And we, as kids, used to lick them and stick them, right? Well, we were poor, so we didn't get many lick them and stick them. We never had enough to get a bicycle, right? We didn't have enough to get candy. But we licked them and stick them. Hopefully, one day, we're going to redeem that bicycle. I'm going to get that. I remember looking and saying, I'm going to get that, right? Y'all, listen, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and me. We belong to him. Adam and Eve were created in his image without sin. They were tempted by the devil, and they sinned. Their choice was food, of all things. It really wasn't food, even though food was the avenue. It was the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to know something they didn't know. They thought God was holding out for them or on them. So when they ate of the fruit, which God said don't do in the middle of the garden, they sinned, and they were separated for eternity from God. And God says he made a promise. He made a commitment. He cursed the snake. He cursed the ground on Adam's behalf, and he even talked about hard labor for women and childbirth, but he also said, listen, the woman's seed is going to crush the serpent's head. And that happened and was fulfilled on the cross. The heel, and the serpent would bruise his heel. That was prophetic in the garden, right outside the garden, when God told him in Genesis, early on in Genesis. And if you know anything about crucifixion, if you study it, Jesus or anybody was crucified, and he was not the only one. I was told by a Sunday school teacher that Jesus was the only person that died on the cross. There were thousands of people that died. That was the preferred way of saying, son, daughter, see that cross behind us? Can y'all imagine if that was an electric chair with a little bit of burnt hair and some blood and guts left on it? We would go, oh, don't talk like that. Some of y'all wearing chains around your neck has a cross, a bracelet. Some of you even have a tattoo of a cross going, right, Jesus, right? It's a torture chamber. That is the most torturous device mankind has just about come up with. And yet we revere it. Why? Why do we even sing? I was upstairs running back down to get, and I heard Old Rugged Cross. Why do we sing about the cross? Why do we sing about blood? It makes no sense whatsoever to a watching world. Why? Because that was the method that God said he was going to choose. Cursed is the one who hangs on a tree. Jesus was cursed for your sins and for mine. Our iniquities were laid on him. Isaiah 53, that was written 500 to 600 years before it actually happened, said exactly, if you read Isaiah 53, I would encourage you to read it on your own time. If you didn't know better, you would say that's taken from the New Testament. That's actually an eyewitness account of the crucifixion. But it was several hundred years before Jesus even come in the flesh. Now, Jesus has always existed. We just come out of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's always existed. He only took on flesh there that short time, those short 30-something years that he lived here on this earth. But I want you to see that Paul is very clear that he preached that Christ had to rise from the dead, that God had to raise him from the dead. There is no salvation in a dead Jesus. There is no salvation in a God with no power. There's only resurrection power if Jesus truly was raised from the dead. Paul goes on, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, roll over there with me for a second, if you would. I just want to see what Paul says, and we are going to get to the garden. Just hang tight with me. We'll make it to the garden. And Brother Frank's already read some of it already, so we'll get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when you're there, say amen. This is important for you to see. Paul preached this everywhere he went. All the cities that we look at, this is the city of Corinth to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when you're there, say amen. All right, he says this, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. That gospel simply means good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you also are saved. You are saved in and through the gospel message. If you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, unless you just showed up on Easter and said, I'll take some of that, and you walk away and don't want anything to do with Christ. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to what? The scripture. It was prophetic word that he had to die for our sins this way. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to what? The scriptures. This is our authoritative source. And that he was seen by Cephas and then by 12. And he goes on to say over 500 of our brethren seen Jesus living. Now some of you believe a witness, right? I heard this morning that we celebrated this morning. That was Easter Sunday morning. We celebrate it. But that one of our fighter pilots, the second one was found, control pilot was found either last night or yesterday. And so we celebrate. I hope you celebrate anytime there's a salvation like that. We celebrate that we found the guy, right? And y'all, listen, it's very much just like that. You know, you had to turn on, if you know anything, I was in the military, if you know anything about the encryption system, if you're down, the beacon gets turned on. And it's a beacon, sometimes I'm sure it's really advanced now, but it's a beacon that goes out, help, help, help. He was injured, y'all know that, right? If you read the news report, he was injured, but he was making it. He was hiding from the enemy. Enemies closed in on him. Help. 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 And that signal goes out. Our aircraft can pick it up. We can pick it up in the ships. Help. Help. Listen, does that not sound like you and me? We're in a broken world surrounded by the enemy. Everybody's against Christianity. Nobody wants Jesus Christ preached like we preach him. Nobody wants the scripture truth. They want a Jesus of their own making. Just give me an Easter egg Jesus and I'm happy. Little Jesus with a little Easter bunny, and I'm super happy. Let's just neuter, as it were, Easter resurrection morning, and everybody can be happy and go home and say what a great day it was to be in the house of the Lord. But just like that beacon was going off of that pilot who was down, listen, our beacon is going off. Do you ever pray, come, Lord Jesus, come? You look at Revelation, John says, come, Lord Jesus, come. And we're calling, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come, come, because we've been redeemed. But sometimes I pray like this. I pray, Lord, come, come, Jesus. I'm ready to go home. But I'm still praying for some of my family and friends. Right? I'm stuck in between and betwixt. I want Jesus to come today, but there's so many people I still share the gospel with. I want them to know Jesus and be saved so that they're not left out. They're not left behind, as it were. This message Paul preached says, listen, here's the good news. Jesus died for you, and he rose again. The third day according to the scriptures. So our authoritative source is what? The scriptures, the holy scriptures. So let's continue. Go to your notes if you see this. And here's a word you didn't have in yours, but I didn't finish through verse 6, but he said over 500 people saw Jesus alive. Would we bear witness to this morning that, did anybody see the pilot rescued that was rescued? None of us saw him, right? Would you agree? Unless you flew to the Middle East. He came back with an eyewitness report from Iran. That'd take you a long time, by the way. And plus, the air miles are shut down over that way. We have it on testimony of witness that our president said it, and we don't believe everything he says. I don't. But we have it on witness from the military as well that this guy's been rescued. Has he been rescued? Some of you would say, I won't believe he's rescued until I see him with my own eyes. Isn't that true? Then Thomas, one of the disciples of Jesus, said, I won't believe in the upper room. Listen, I will not believe unless I see the holes in his hands and I see the hole in his side. I will not believe. And we have a nickname for him. What do we call him? No, we call him the twin. That's what the Bible calls him. What'd y'all say, Doubting Thomas? Why do we call him Doubting Thomas? Because the Bible calls him, his nickname was the twin. But we call him Doubting Thomas. Why? Because your grandma did. Because you've heard it in church. You know what the real reason you call him Doubting Thomas is? Because when you look at Thomas, you look at yourself. Is this really true? And y'all, let me tell you something. It'll put a fire in your pants when you realize this is really true, right? You ever had your pants on fire by a bonfire? Get up too close, dare each other. Y'all ever do this as kids? You just get who can take it the longest? I won't tell you much about our details in our family, but I've set my pants on fire before. And you will learn to run, and you usually shed your pants as well. You want to get to water or something to cool them off. This is what it does when you get so close to the fire of the gospel. Listen, it sets you hot. It sets you ablaze, and you have to tell everybody. He changed my life. People say, what's wrong with you? You have joy in your life that you used to not have. You don't run with us. That's what even the Bible says. Hey, you don't run with us like you used to run with us. Why are you so different? In the military, they would use it like this. Smith got religion. Everybody look out when I would go through. Smith got religion on the ship. Smith got religion. I was like, guys, I didn't get religion. I got saved. I'm different than I was last week. And so I wanted everybody to know, oh, you're talking about Jesus all the time. All you do is talk about Jesus with the scripture. I'm like, I don't realize I'm doing that. But listen, I really want you to know what I know, because I was lost till I was 21 years old, and now I'm found. Jesus saved me. I want all my friends, all my family, all my enemies to be saved. I want to bring you to Jesus. I want to grab your hand and take you to the fire and say, listen, light them up like you lit me up, right? That's what I want to happen. And my fire hasn't gone out yet, because he's a keeping God. He's an on-time God. And listen, he's an always God. This is the Jesus that we're preaching this morning that's resurrected. Yes, we can say he is risen, and people respond, he is risen indeed, but they don't live it the other 364 days a year. If somebody says, listen, I want you, if somebody sent you a text this morning and said he is risen, I want you to send that to them every single day for the rest of the year on Facebook or social media. So they'll live it on Monday. Listen, it's easy on Sunday morning when everybody's dressed up saying he's risen indeed. But on Monday when the boss is chewing you out and other people have time off and you're like, it's spring break, man, I could be at the beach. I could be doing anything else in my life. And wouldn't it be nice to be single again? Married people, listen, you ever said that? Don't answer that. But I want to tell you, listen, the majority of people think it again. And we talk about men who like to be single and they like to be married. They'd like to be single, and women who like to be single, they like to be married. And we have names for them, and I know the children are here today, and I won't say those names. Even kids get restless. What's it all about? Listen, I want to encourage you to go back to the fire. Go back to the message, and this message is true. Listen, I want you to see this. Did the Jewish people of Jesus' day know the miracles that he had done? Yes or no? 3 years worth of miracles, feeding of the 5,000 plus women and children. Some of these people that were yelling, crucify him, were the same people munching on fish and loaves of bread that he had multiplied and they had eaten. They had eaten the miraculous lunch, and yet they still were yelling, crucify him, because they were swayed by public opinion. Public opinion is always going to be opposite Christ, just so you know. It doesn't matter how much, quote-unquote, Christianese we get into the leadership. It's always going to be, listen, sinful man will always creep in there because the devil is the prince of this air. Jesus is the prince of peace, and there's always war. Even in your own hearts and souls, there'll be war. The Bible says the flesh, that's you, wars against the spirit. And you always have this friction. And the question is, which way will you go? Who will be your master, and who will you serve? Let's continue. I want you to see this in your notes. Unbelieving Jews. These are Jews who knew that Jesus had proclaimed to be Christ, that he proclaimed to be the Messiah. They were, and you didn't have it in yours, but here's the word you want to slide in before the word jealous. Unbelieving Jews were rebellious and jealous. I didn't have rebellious there because I was trying to say, can I say rebellious and jealous at the same time? Rebellious and jealous is where these people. They were envious of, he's drawing attention, and people were following him. The accusation was even crazy. Here's what they did. See if this sounds like today. They formed a mob, and they set the city in uproar. They attacked this Christian man, Jason's house, seeking Paul and Silas. In mob-like protest, they dragged believers before the authorities and accused them of turning the world upside down and proclaiming another king, Jesus. The believers had to be bonded out. They had to get bond. Jason had to be bonded out at the local bondsman to get out of jail because these people had lied, and they'd actually told the truth. Were these people turning the world upside down? Is Jesus, as it were, a revolutionary? Yeah, he turns things upside down. He says, listen, the old ways, the sinful ways, that's sin. God is opposed to that. Jesus spoke, he preached, and then he died for those sins and said, listen, you can be out from under those sins. You can be redeemed, lick them and stick them. You can be bought back. But here's the deal. Instead of licking all those stickers I talked about, Jesus licked sin, death, and hell one day on the cross. Dead, buried, rose again the third day to live forevermore, church. Forevermore. Listen, the go to your notes, I want you to see this. Paul and Silas, y'all know those two missionaries, right? They were sent by night to Berea because they had to get them out of town. There the people received the word eagerly, examining the scriptures daily to test Paul's message. Many believed, including prominent Greek women and men. There it is again. Why would Paul bring in the prominent Greeks? It's because he's trying to tell you, listen, the average person gets it. But even the people that actually who think themselves somebody or have achieved things in life, they had received the same message of salvation because Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Let me try that again. The message of Christ, the message of Jesus Christ is for everyone. That's the truth, is it not? It's for you. It's for your loved ones. It's for your family and friends. It's for your enemies. It's for your frenemies. It's for anybody, listen, that will actually hear and believe. But unfortunately, you have the people like these people that received. Oh, we hear what you're saying. Let me check the scripture. Let me go back and look and see. Does it say that he would be riding to town on a donkey? Does it say that in scripture? Well, they'd roll back to the prophets, and they would say the scripture says in Zechariah chapter 9 that he's going to be coming in riding a donkey, right? And then they would search the scriptures. They'd go back to Psalms 22. They'd go back to even further and say, wait a minute. This man fulfilled everything the prophets said was going to happen when the Messiah was to come. He fits, as it were, the bill. He's exactly who they said was coming. He's done everything, even the miraculous signs. Could this be the God-man? Could this be the Christ? And the answer is, listen, when they went home like you and I go home, right? You can argue if you're a lawyer, if you have a job where you have to debate all the day, or if you have to constantly supervise people and tell them what to do. And when you go home at night, when somebody confronts you with the truth, I mentioned this to the college class this morning, and the old pastor asked me, he said, if you were wrong, Clint, would you want to know that you're wrong? I was pretty prideful. My inside was going, nope. But the outside said, truth, yes. Well, let me ask you this morning. Let me ask you the same question. I'm the old preacher now. If you were wrong and you're thinking about Jesus, would you want to know that you're wrong? Three of you do. That's part of the problem. Pride has, listen, the same pride that got Satan kicked out of heaven, the same pride that got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden, is the same pride that settles on our heart today and say, listen, I think I got a handle on this. Can you look at our society? Does our society have a handle on Jesus? Does our society have an understanding of who Jesus is? I'm going to go further. Does the church have an understanding of who Jesus is? What would happen if the church, that's you and me, has a handle on who Jesus is? And we understand and we're convicted that he is the Christ, the only way to heaven. What would happen if we truly got that fire set under us? We would turn the world upside down. We would do the very things that, listen, it had not been for those faithful men back in the day in the Middle East, coming all the way, listen, they were sent to the ends of the earth. And guess where the ends of the earth were? Aiken, South Carolina. You say, were the apostles here? I don't know how far they got to go, but the message got here. We're here today because of that message. Listen, there's a truth for us to actually understand, not just understand in a study of the Word of God in a theological way, but there's a message for us to actually, it's practical to actually put into play as we walk out those doors that this is real stuff. It's the kind of stuff you want to shake somebody. If you don't get it, listen, you're going to die. You're going to be eternally separated from God. I don't want that. I want to be with you, but more than that, I want you to be with Christ for eternity. That's our hope. You've got to put it back to Jesus. Well, they went to Berea. People are excited about the Word of God. They're checking Scripture. Does it say that? Does it really say, you ever done that? This is our authoritative source. They can go back and say, does it really say that? And they're like, it does say that. It does say that. So they're meeting. You ever been to a cool Bible study where you just tear it apart? Have you ever been to those Bible studies? I invite you here. Or start one. You go, does the Bible really say that? It does say that. And what happens when you're confronted with the truth? All of us. You're going to leave out of here today. If you go out that way, you're going to have a traffic light. If you go that way, you're going to have a stop sign. If you cut through the short side, you're going to have a stop sign as well. Cars coming fast. What's your truth? Come on, y'all. Some of y'all drive like that too. Like, I'll decide when I get there. If there's a stop sign, what should you do? If that light's turning red, what should you do? If it's yellow, what do you do? Speed up. I know exactly what it's taking, right? But it's actually supposed to slow down to stop if you can. We know the rules, but what do? Especially if you drive a big truck. Big truck drivers are the worst, right? They just roll through everything. They just roll right out in front of everybody. That was a side gripe, right, in the message. We understand, listen, we're going to be confronted in just a moment with a stop sign or our stop light. And when the green light hits, listen, what's going to happen if you just sit there and all of us are behind you? No, we're full of grace. We're just going to wait with you and just wait for you to check your messages and get a drink and sip your coffee. We're just going to wait because church was long, right? We're just going to graciously sit there. What's going to happen? There's going to be a group of Baptists behind you going, roar, right? Forgetting the message that we just preached. But we're going to have to make a decision. So the question is, will we go on green out there? And the answer is probably yes. The question for you in here is, are you going to go on green today? God told us to go make disciples of the nations, to baptize them and to teach them. What David did this morning, what Paul Ying demonstrated today, listen, God can change every one of our lives. You say, but. Well, don't fill in the blank, right? Just leave it there. God can change your life if you're willing to obey him. Look what the opposition did. Go to your notes. Opposition came from the old town. They soon followed. Jews from Thessalonica came to Berea, and they protested, and they stirred up the crowds there. Paul was then sent to Athens while Silas and Timothy remained behind to minister in Jesus' name. The troublemakers followed him. Listen, if you're a Christian, you're going to preach Jesus, trouble's going to follow you. Just FYI, okay? It's going to follow you. In Athens, this is where all the smart people, as it were. Paul was distressed by the city's idolatry. He reasoned in the synagogue and spoke daily in the marketplace. Some philosophers dismissed him as a babbler. That's the word in the Bible. While others said he was preaching foreign deities because he proclaimed Jesus' resurrection. He's preaching the resurrection. They're like, this guy's crazy. But they loved to hear new things. They were constantly, that was their hobbies of just, let's talk about it. Let me hear what you got to say. Paul finds that if you read the encounter, he follows that inscription. And let me finish in the notes. I'll let you see this. They brought him into Areopagus and asked him to explain his teaching. On his way traveling, just in case they missed a god, they had a god set up. They had an altar set up to the unknown god. There was a time during their time that there was a plague that went on, and they're praying to every god, the sun god, the water god, the rain god. They're asking every god, hey, pray for your god. Anybody ask your god, because we're dying like crazy. Our families are dying. It was probably a version of COVID back in the day. Pray to your God that we would be saved because he's killing our people. And someone erected this statue, is what history tells us, that to the unknown God. Hey, unknown God, we're sorry. Would you not kill us and would you help our people? And the plague, as it were, stopped. And so they reveled in that unknown God. Yeah, we still got our gods, but we got that guy, that God. So Paul walks in, sees all the idolatry, and comes in and says, I notice you have a statue to the unknown God. And he says, I want to make him known. I want to tell you who he is. And Paul steps back and starts preaching Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection. He starts preaching about Jesus, and they're like, this guy's babbling about a God who came to be a man who died and rose again. Sounds too fake to us. We're not going to believe. But look what it says. He talked about the one true God, the one they did not know, the creator of all who does not dwell in temples made by hands, who gives life to all and who now commands all people everywhere to repent. By the way, God calls us all to repent. God has fixed the day of judgment and has appointed Jesus, giving proof by raising him from the dead. What happens when they hear that? What happens when you hear that? What happens when our society hears that? Here's what they did. When they heard of the resurrection, some of them mocked him. Does that happen today? People make fun of us as Christians and they mock us. If you don't say yes, you're not proclaiming the gospel. Some of you just stay at home, let other people take it on the chin, right? We like the first responders go out there and take it, right? You ever seen people when there's a fire? What happens? You can tell the people who are trained, what are they going to do? They're going to run to the fire to put it out. Everybody else is running away from the fire. And unfortunately, the church, we've been trained to run to the fire. And what do we do today? If we get mocked or made fun of, we run. We run away from the, I don't want that. I don't want the shame. I don't want to lose my job. I just want to stay quiet. Listen, some people mocked Paul. They made fun of him. Others of them were curious, and some believed, and you got these cool names, Dionysus, Sis, I can't even say these words, an Areopagite, and Demarius. Matthew 28 told us, that Frank read this morning, that Mary ran to the tomb. What'd she do? She went there to help prepare the body, as it were, because there was too much time. She ran to the tomb, and she finds it empty. Paul's living during this time. What's Paul doing? He's training. He's in college. He's been through all of his training. He's trained to be a Pharisee who knows all the Old Testament, and he's hearing the message as well. He's trying to put out as many fires as possible because he's trying to kill the church because he does not believe. He was the one of ones who had mocked before, made fun of. And yet Mary comes back. Though the pressure's on her, she runs back. She meets the Lord. He talks to her. She runs back, tells the disciples. We read this morning, John, John writes in the one that Jesus loved outran Peter to the tomb. Y'all like that? Don't y'all like reading that? When John brags, he throws in a quick brag. And the one Jesus loved made it to the tomb first, the sepulcher. But Peter went in. Here's the deal. We have the testimony from Peter, John, Mary, the 500, whomever it might be, and Paul today, saying Jesus Christ has died on the cross. He's risen again. Listen, God raised him from the dead. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. You know that to be true. So the witness is for you today, for you today, for you today, for you today, and for you today, and for anyone watching, that anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because we got a God who keeps his word. Amen. I love you, God. Let me pray for us today. Father God, today, as we're in your presence, we know very well that it's difficult days that we live in, but just like Paul went to Thessalonica and Paul went to Berea and Paul went to Athens with this message that we have, there's a message of hope that Jesus Christ, he was crucified. He did die for our sins, and God, you did raise him from the dead, third day according to the scriptures. Paul preached that message and it got him in so much trouble. Lord, he got stoned. And Lord, we believe through church tradition that, Lord, his time, he was met unduly time, Lord, of death. But Lord, it was your time. It's always on time. Father, today we have a choice to make. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We're going to walk out of this place knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And Father, we're going to have a choice to make, just like Paul. Will I serve him? Will I trust him? And Lord, the answer is it's going to be yes, I will trust him with my life. If it costs me my life, I'll trust him. Some of us, Lord, have committed to live for you and to die for you. But whatever you call us to do, Lord, we're here as your servants, as your children who's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Today, Lord, as we have made a decision to make, if there's anybody who's still questioning or has doubts and fears about this, surrender to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you would relieve them of that and they would fully trust you with all of their heart. Thank you for this gospel, this good news that we hear. Thank you for that we're praying right now to a risen Savior. We bless your name, in your name, in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen and amen.